Hey, good morning. Wake up, sleeper. It's time to get going into a new week. This is your wake-up call. It is April the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2026. It's Monday. I'm John David Walt. Yes, this is your wake-up call. Well, a point of personal privilege today. Today, April 13th, is my meemaw's birthday. Mary Elizabeth Walt, the late Mary Elizabeth Walt. Wish I knew how old she would be today, but it'd probably be around 100. Anyway, happy birthday, meemaw, in the communion of saints. Thank you for being you. Well, let's jump right into consecration this week, this day. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled Meet the Fellowship of the Holy Discontents. And our text is Ephesians 1. We're in the second week in Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23. Today, hear now the word of the Lord. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. My gosh. That's the word of the Lord. Now consider this. The incredible greatness of God's power. That's from the first verse today. Think about that for a minute. Paul is praying a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer for his readers, i.e. us. He prays for us to, quote, understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Do you understand this? I'm willing to go on record that I don't. I mean, I get it at the level of my intellect. God is powerful. Yes, I have experienced the presence of God many times, and I know the love of God in a deeply personal way. I would even go so far as to claim that I have experienced the power of God. These are great blessings, but I don't think that is what Paul means here. Note how he qualifies the nature of, quote, the incredible greatness of God's power. He says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I'm pretty sure I qualify as a true believer. But surely there must be more to the incredible greatness of God's power than I have understood or experienced. You too? So what do we do with this? One direction we could go would be to doubt the incredible greatness of God's power. Many people slowly drift in that direction. It's not that they stop believing in God, but rather they just quietly accept the status quo of reality as they know it, passively lower their expectations, swim in the shallow end of church, and do their best to make the most of their middle to upper middle class life. There's a better way. Let's call that the way of holy discontent. That's the path to awakening. Rather than allowing our experience or lack thereof to lead us to doubt God's word, we can stand firmly on the veracity of God's word and allow its authority to question our experience. This is the way of holy discontent. It's a willingness to question and doubt everything but the Word of God. The way of holy discontent means we hold on and press in for deeper understanding. It means not giving up, never letting go, asking until we receive, seeking until we find, and knocking until the door is opened. And it means banding together with a few others who will walk this way with us. Let's call ourselves the Fellowship of the Holy Discontents. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who calls us out of our comfort zones and beyond the barriers of our experience, daring us to step out of the comfort zone of the boat and to risk walking on water. We want to understand and experience your incomparably great power. Forgive us for settling for less. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts today. Have you allowed your experience or lack thereof of God's power to cause you to question texts like today's? Do you think there is more to the incredible greatness of God's power than you presently understand or experience? And have you allowed yourself to drift into a kind of passive doubt? Or are you ready to join the fellowship of the holy discontents? Those are good questions. I hope you'll take a minute or more to reflect on today. A couple more comments. This is crux level material here, friends. He's praying. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, there's two very significant prayers in Ephesians. We're on the first one now. I call them the prayers for great awakening. This is the first one. And then the next one will be in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll come to it. Two prayers Paul is praying. He is praying for us to wake up. And this first one, you know, we started on it last week. But this last phrase of it, you know, he prayed for hope. He prayed that we'd come to know our inheritance, the riches of our inheritance in the saints. But then he says, and of his incomparably, that's the old NIV I love, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Like, and then he says it's the same power by which he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, just full stop, guys. Can you just contemplate that? The very power by which God raised Jesus from the dead, he wants us to grasp, to understand, to experience, and to express. That's what God wants for your life and my life, for his people. And he wants it. Yeah, he wants it for the sake of the world. This is how God works in the world, through people like you and me and us together. And first off, it's so easy just to read right past that and not pay much attention. But second, it's easy just to sort of say, okay, got it, check, whatever. But what I'm wanting you to do is underline it, highlight it, get it out, copy it down, write it down, rememberize it, pray it. This is a prayer. Father, would you help me understand, experience, and express your incomparably great power for us who believe? I've decided, and I did many years ago, I'm not letting go. I'm holding on. And guys, I'm seeing it more than I have ever seen it before. Because there's a sense in which, like, it takes a long time for that power to actually just start churning inside of us, making the kind of change, growing us up, right? He first wakes us up, then he grows us up, and then he blows us up. And I mean that in the best sense of the term. He begins to move his power through us. First, he's with us, then he's in us, then he's through us. And that's a journey. And it requires holding on and believing and leaning in and persisting. Not trying harder to do more to be better, but really letting go, leaning in, abiding. That's the journey. It takes time. But it takes coming to the place of honesty and saying, you know, there's a lot more about Jesus that I don't know than that I do. And I just have a splinter in my soul. I have a holy discontent, and I'm not letting go. Jesus, I want to know you more. Remember, that's how he started praying. Pray that you will know, open the eyes of your heart, right? So that you may know Jesus better. That's what this is about. It's not about having power. It's about knowing Jesus better. Power comes with that. But can you reach that place of holy discontent? That's the door. That's the buy-in, if you will. And there's a lot of unholy discontent. I've certainly had that. Let's just call that malcontent. That's a different thing. That's just complaining about everything in the universe, blaming it on somebody else and being a victim. Holy discontent is saying, I see you, Jesus. I see what you did when you were on the earth, and I'm beginning to grasp that you were doing that because you wanted to show me what could be possible in my life and in my time. That kind of love. That's the other journey, the journey from wanting power to wanting love and realizing that love is actually the power. The power is love. So, I don't know. That's enough commentary from me today. I'm just wanting to welcome you into this fellowship because this is the pathway to the real deal. Let's sing today. I'm going to sing again. I'm going to pull out the song I think we sang it a week ago Monday, the first day. I'm just going to be with you by myself singing today. It's a chorus, probably from the late 90s. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. This is the prayer of the holy discontents. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Would you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. How about that? Are you praying that today? That's a good song just to sing throughout the day. And guys, that's what it's going to take. It takes the Lord to open the eyes of our heart. And that's not a one-time thing. That's not one and done. It's ongoing. It's ever-increasing. It's metamorpho-o, reaching back to Jesus asking. It's ever-increasing, transcendent glory of God coming into our life. But it requires a kind of humility, doesn't it? To say, I don't know what I don't know. To say, there's more of Jesus that I don't know than that I do. I'm glad I know him. But the more I know him, the more I want to know him more. This is a yearning. This is a leaning. I'm calling you to it, friends. This is the secret sauce. Just owning your holy discontent and bringing it to him. Let's do it once more. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Make it a prayer. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Would you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. I want to see you. That's it. I just was thinking, came to my mind, Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's another great song, purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. That's that refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. I sense your hunger today. I sense your readiness. Guys, we're on a journey of awakening. And as I often say, awakening is the journey of love from Jesus to a person, through a person, to a person, through a person, to a person. He's coming to you, and he's going to move through you. It's going to change everything. All right. The other thing I often say, the greatest impediment to my own awakening is I'm pretty sure I'm already awake. Get your seeds, guys. It's Monday. It's going to be a good day. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walton.